Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I've got some energy today, and I'm here with Brandon Kelly. Brandon, how are you?
I'm really good, Josh, but I have a question for you. Since we recorded the last episode of Always Cheating, I need to know, have you been tapped up by any other FPL podcasts out there? Has there been any tapping up happening with you?
There's a Liverpool podcast that was tapping me up, and they actually got called out. And so I don't
classic
think it's going
to pool.
Your Klopp is still interested, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
I feel like every season there's some kind of idiom or phrase that sort of bubbles up to the top and becomes one that you just start to see everywhere.
Right.
Last season, it was people kept using the word system, like, widely. Every other word was system this, system that. And
inverted
this
winger.
Is the summer of tapping
like,
up.
I feel like I heard a lot of inverted winger last year, too. If I never hear the phrase inverted winger again, I might be like 8% happier the rest of my life.
All right. Well, glad to hear you haven't been tapped up just yet. Well, just a little bit of tapping up.
Just a little bit. Brandon, it's good to talk to you. This is a fun episode. This is one that we've done. It's actually the second time we've done this episode, although it's new and improved this year. In fact, I think we have basically all new points that we're going to be getting to. And this is our 10 rules for FPL success episode. We had a couple of people that reached out to us and said, you know, I'm thinking of our friend Danny Bean's girlfriend, for one, right? And Danny Bean, we met him in the spring of last year, and he was a fairly recent listener to the, you know, he started listening to the podcast maybe like a month or so before, and he's part of the FPL, and his girlfriend is too, and she got like 2 minutes in, and she was like, I don't understand anything they're talking about.
She knew how to play the FPL game, but the lingo and all the strategy, the ins and outs that we're all sort of familiar with.
Because by week 32, we were just so in the weeds with all this stuff, you know, and it was like everyone had a nickname, you know, and even like
Poku
the people.
Forever.
Yeah, and we even have nicknames for people who like call into the pod, or, you know, who write into the podcast. It's just like, it was completely indecipherable if you weren't, you know, part of it yet. So this is our attempt to just to talk about the game a little bit, talk about the rules that we've learned over many, many years of playing the game. If you are a longtime manager and if you're a better manager than us, you may not like this episode. That's okay. We're going to do a lot of episodes of the podcast, but maybe it'll be helpful. Maybe it's sort of like, you know, it's like a baseball team still practices every day, right? Even though they all know how to throw to first, it's still useful to run through the motions, to remember the right way to do it, just to like make sure your form is you know where you want it to be.
And what better time than right now? We're gearing up for the new season. Just right. Take a step back, view the game as a whole, make sure your mechanics are sound.
Exactly. And so I will say right now, before I forget, because I meant to say this in the last episode, but if you're a fan of the Fantasy Premier League game, if you have friends who, I don't know about you, Brandon, but certainly a lot of people in my life. And I don't know why I say I don't know about you, because like we have the same friends, but let's pretend that we do for a second. Let's pretend we had different friends. All of my friends, basically everyone is into podcasts now in a way that they just weren't a couple of years ago. So if you have friends in your mini league or that you talk to on Facebook or Twitter, people who you know, really enjoy the fantasy game, but maybe don't listen to the podcast yet, can you share this episode with them? Just, you know, send the link. You don't have to do it on social media if you don't want to. Just help us get the word out, because this is kind of, you know, it's the start of the year. We want as many people to listen as possible. Not for any particular reason other than it just makes us feel good, right? It's like it's for total ego boosting satisfaction.
I like to feel loved. I really do.
Right? Who doesn't, right?
So yeah, if you have any friends that said, hey, I really love that S-Town podcast, they'll probably also love Always Cheating.
If you like the Serial podcast, you're going to like this podcast. It's almost exactly the same thing. Okay, and the other thing I want to note at the start of this podcast is we're going to try to keep this one to an actual hour. We thought last week's episode was going to be like a 40-minute episode, and it was like 6.5 hours. So this time around, Brandon, we're going to do 40 minutes. We're going to hit each point, and then we're going to get out.
Last week was Lord of the Rings. This week, it's The Hobbit. It's going to be crisp. It's going to be one of the greatest adventure podcast hours of all time.
The book, not the 3-part movie.
Oh, God, no, that movie. Those movies are terrible.
All right. So before we get any further, I want to say thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. Particular thanks. We had a big surge in supporters just in the last week, since last week's episode of the podcast. We're actually over 70 now, which is amazing and kind of ridiculous. And
it's so cool. I want to personally thank everyone, too.
Yeah. So just briefly, I want to thank Guillermeld, Dave Aston, Alex Davies, Jeff Walker, Chris Howell, who was actually had been listening to the podcast without even having a fantasy team.
I love which this I thought story. Was amazing. Chris is like, I love you guys. I don't even play FPL.
I couldn't believe. Yeah, that was awesome. Zach Hughes, Taylor Ullman, Lucas Matthew, Francis Mahone, or Mann. I'm not sure how you say his last name. Mike DiPietro, who gets a special thanks because he gave us some great ideas for Patreon features we can do this year. Ryan Carroll and Adam McAvoy. So thanks to everybody. As a reminder, we're actually doing a head-to-head league on the Patreon page this year. The winner gets to appear on the podcast, and we're talking about doing things like pins and T-shirts and stuff like that, too. So we'll keep you updated on that front. We're also going to start a Survivor League this year, which is basically a knockout pool. You pick one team each week, and then all they have to do is not lose. And the last
person. And you can never pick the same team twice.
Exactly. And we did this in the spring of last year, and within about 4 weeks, like somehow like 97% of the people who are playing got knocked out. So it's a lot of fun. I'm not going to start that until a little later into the season. I just feel like, you know, there's a lot going on this year. You've got the draft league, which some people are doing. You've got the regular league. This just feels like a bit of a distraction. So let's wait until we're kind of settled into our teams a little bit, maybe around game week, like the second international break is what I'm thinking. We'll start that off. And believe me, no one's going to last 37 weeks or 30 weeks.
Team form can be kind of bananas the first few weeks of the season as well. So the Survivor League would be pretty tough going into game week one.
Yeah, exactly. So just the last thing is, if you want to join the head-to-head league, just you need to pledge by August 11th to get into that. Because that's when the season starts. So, and maybe like an hour before the Arsenal game, because I'll need to send you the code and you'll need to log in. And then the site just, you know, they auto-generate all of the head-to-head matchups for the rest of the season. And we're going to have playoffs too, Brandon. So
I'm in.
Keep your eye up.
Lastly, go ahead. So there's a lot of hubbub about the draft league, which as of the recording of this episode of Always Cheating, it is not launched yet on the FPL site. So just to note, we will be talking a little bit about the draft league once that launches, and we're kind of going to be judging everyone's interest, see how we want to cover the draft league once it launches and throughout the season. If you have any ideas as to how you want to see the draft league covered and Always Cheating, let us know.
Right, waiver wire talk in particular, I'm thinking. And Brendan, we're actually going to do our own a two-person draft this year. And we're going to do a podcast, maybe even this weekend, actually, where we draft our own, assuming the draft is up. I think this all could be irrelevant because that could actually be up by tomorrow morning. But let's assume it's up by this weekend. I think we're going to actually draft, and we'll do that we'll do a live draft as a Patreon podcast.
Something will happen as soon as we post this episode. I think when we posted last week's episode, suddenly the news dropped about Lukaku going to Manchester United. Right. Perhaps like not a huge surprise, but of course we didn't get to talk about it on last week's episode.
All right. And final thing before we get into the heart of the episode is I want to say thank you to Peter Blake. He's on Twitter, and his Twitter handle is Artie Midoris. Am I saying that right? I don't know. Artemidorus underscore one. Peter, that is not the most SEO friendly.
Yeah, come on, Peter. I think if you just search Peter Blake, if you follow a bunch of FPL people and you search Peter Blake on Twitter, I think he'll pop up.
Definitely show up. Really, he's really popular on Twitter, and understandably so, because he writes some great posts. So check him out at mathematicallysafe.wordpress.com. I had sent out a question, and I was, you know, just kind of sent it out into Twitter, and I said, you know, do older players start the season more strongly, and then do they kind of fade as the season goes on? And I was thinking
guys like Jermaine Defoe, who you're thinking of, right?
Exactly. And just I guess the idea, and it was really just a thought more than like anything I had any evidence to back up. That's why I asked the question. Was, you know, maybe they're a little more kind of like they're used to the rigors of the season, so they kind of get right into it right away, you know. And mm-hmm. but then their legs get tired as the season goes on. But it turns out it's pretty much exactly the opposite. And they, in fact, in most cases, they actually score more points in the second half of the season, and kind of flipped my whole thinking.
Llorente is a great example of that. Like, it looked like he wasn't going to touch the ball at all for Swansea at the start of last season, and then he just came on so strong at the end.
Right, but it does sort of fly in the face of, like, I was thinking someone like Wayne Rooney might be an interesting third striker option because he is experienced and he'll slot right in and he'll know, you know, he'll score points right off the bat. But I don't know, kind of, this is why you need smart friends who understand statistics, because you know, you need someone to actually check these hunches out for you. So anyway,
So if you want a smart friend, go read Peter Blake's post, mathematicallysafe.wordpress.com. Learn about old people.
All right, Brandon, that was pretty fast for us. For like an intro, that's like 20 minutes shorter than usual.
We're well on our way to a crisp hour here, Josh. This is great.
All right. Should we take a quick break and then get into the episode?
Yeah. 10 rules for FPL success coming up. Same old podcast, always cheating. Okay, we're back. And Josh, like you were saying, 10 rules for FPL success. That's the story of this episode. And we're just going to jump right into it with rule number one. And that's, don't be afraid of stats. So there's this theory that I have that sports fans possess two brains. Now, one is an actual brain that has brain power, and the other is our gut. So there is this instinct that sports fans have, I'm going to just go with my gut. I'm going to go with the eye test. And for us, you and me, Josh, we're like two English lit majors. Math can be kind of hard. Statistics might be frustrating, scary. Exactly. So the tendency is to go with the gut. So taking this gut metaphor, I feel like you have to line your gut with statistics to prevent indigestion.
The probiotics of your
team. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're like we were mentioning with Peter Blake's stats post about older players in the FPL, there are plenty of places online where you can get up-to-date stats, whether it's like Fantasy Football Fix or...
Name 12, Brandon.
Yeah, I've got 12. Fantasy Football Fix, you got, of course, the Fantasy Football Scout, you've got...
There's three, right? The three come to mind right away. One is Fantasy Football Scout, which is kind of the... You know, it's the sort of the gold standard of FPL sites. It's the one that we've all been going to the longest, and you know, they pump out a ton of content. A lot of their statistics content you have to pay for. I have paid for it the last couple of years, and it just, like, you know, it just makes me feel a little more confident. I mean, it's actually really useful for us for the podcast, because it's useful to pull. You basically get access to OptiData. So if you're not too scared of it, you can basically, you know, jump in, and you can, you know, it really gets useful once you're in, like, you know, once you're 6 weeks into the season or so, and you can see who's, you know, who's sending in the most crosses, you know, who's corner kicks, who's, you know, who has the most shots on target, you know, things like that. And who's most just general shots on goal. And, you know, so it's useful. You don't have to necessarily sign up for a site like that, but, you know, someone like Nick Cummings, who has the Transfer Hub website, trickerlips.com, has a lot of free stats that anybody can take advantage of. And then, you know, and what's nice about his blog post too is that there's a great comment section below it. So people are really hashing this stuff out. And I have a little story for you, Brandon.
Let me sit back and enjoy this.
So in our mini league last year, our friend Ben, who's actually he was a guest on the podcast about a year ago, destroyed everybody, right? By like a good 100 points. Yeah. He kind of, maybe like the game week 37 and 38, I think he let up a little bit, you know.
He did.
Like
once, he went all Watford on us.
Yeah, he was up about 200 points, and so, you know, you can't blame him exactly. But he, you know, he was so on the ball all year. I mean, every move he made was right. His team was absolutely packed. And I noticed a comment that he had posted on a forum. And he was thinking, there's this guy on this forum who was posting tables.
What were you spying on Ben? What was going on?
No, it was on a Facebook forum that you and I are both on. So he commented on the forum, and he said to the guy who was posting these tables, he said, "Hey, I really hope that you're going to post these, because the table is basically like, you know, top my, it's like my algorithm, and here are like my picks for the top strikers, midfielders, defenders for the next 6 weeks, or, you know, something like that." And he said, "You know, I really hope that you do this again for next season, because I found it invaluable all year." And I was like, oh my God, people are using that? I was like, I didn't even know. I didn't know people were using it. I didn't know, like, the guy who destroyed us all was using this every game week. I was like, I can't believe I missed out on this.
You mean he had some kind of cutting edge that I didn't, and that's why he won?
It was completely there for anyone to take advantage of, and I just wasn't doing it. And this is, believe me, if you start digging around on Twitter or Facebook, even just like Googling this stuff, you're going to find a lot of websites where people have just for absolutely for free, just for the sheer fun of it, including our friend Peter Blake, who I was talking about a minute ago, just they dig into the data and they just do it because it's fun and they like to share it. And, you know, and these people, you know, they tend to be very good at fantasy managers as well. And it's kind of like us doing this podcast, right? It's just it's kind of fun to talk about this stuff. And even if it like if it costs us like some kind of edge, you know, to the extent that it even matters, it doesn't matter because it's fun to talk about this stuff and then like and sort of talk about ideas with people.
The last thing I'm going to say about stats is when I find them most useful, I mean, I do tend to go with my gut a lot, but there are times, particularly late in the transfer window, where it's between two guys and it's kind of a toss-up. And that's when it's good to go to the stats, maybe compare the two, see where there might be that cutting edge, and that's going to be really helpful in making your last-minute transfer deadline selection.
Yep, exactly, exactly. So that's point number one. Don't be afraid of stats. Rule number two, Brandon, is don't be afraid to be different up to a point. All right. And what I mean,
what do you mean by that, Josh?
Well, okay. So this is where the word differential comes in, right? This is the we'll explain it once and then we'll use it a billion times the rest of the year. And a differential, if you don't know, is basically a player that you have in your team that isn't owned by a lot of other players, right? And this is, you know, now with the draft game, it's going to be a little bit different if you're playing that, but. If you're playing the regular game, which is what most people will still be playing, then, you know, you can basically, everyone can own Lukaku, right? Or everyone can own Eden Hazard, whatever. And so, you know, there's...
yeah, only fools are going to bring Eden Hazard into their team, Josh.
Sure. But, you know, the differential is the player that you own that most people don't own. And then that's, you know, when they score their, like, double hat trick or whatever, and you've triple captained them, you jump past everybody else and you finish first in the league and you get, you know... a trip to see a game or whatever. I feel like the fantasy site like never highlights the first place prize. It's like four million people, there's like one prize.
It definitely involves a trip to space camp and some sort of like log of cheese,
you
I think.
Experience 5Gs for the first time. So you do want to have some differentials. And I think that there is, and I think we're seeing a lot more of this because there's just so much converse. I mean, the number of accounts that I've just cropped up with the word FPL in the Twitter handle in the last year or so is risen dramatically, right? A lot more people are talking about fantasy than they ever were before, like in this kind of public sphere. I mean, it feels like teams are looking very similar as a result, right? There's this sort of like fear of, well, maybe I shouldn't bring in Fabianski. I should just go with, you know, Ben Foster like everybody else is. And here's the point, which is that we're talking about Ben Foster versus Fabianski. We're not talking about Lacazette versus Lukaku. And I'm actually going to do points number two, rules number two and three together.
Because they kind of go hand in hand.
And rule number three is that to succeed, you're going to have to go with the crowd sometimes. Right. And you just it's too risky not to start the season, in my opinion, to start the season with Lukaku because his ownership is so high that you just have to kind of ride with the crowd for a couple of weeks and see if he's worth it, because you're just going to fall so far back if, you know, because when your ownership is that high, it also means you're going to be captained by a lot of people typically. So if a lot of people own him and they captain him and he performs well, as you would expect, because he's very talented, you could really, you know, find yourself in some trouble. What do you think about this? Any more thoughts?
Well, I think that's an excellent way of putting it. You basically have to have a spine to your team that reflects the popular opinion, so you can defer all of those big point hauls that are coming in. But if you want to really win, you have to have some differentials. Right. I'm thinking about Kevin De Bruyne. I think he was a big differential toward the end of last season. He was a player that a lot of people had lost faith with. But going back to point one, looking at some underlying stats, you'd see KDB is actually a good differential. And there is where you start to break away from the pack. So you can't break away from the pack unless you have a little bit of what the pack has, plus a little something extra.
And this is why someone like KDB is such a perfect differential, because in some ways he's not a differential at all, right? I mean, the reason why most of these players are really highly owned is because they're the best, most talented players playing on the best teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't go wrong with the best, most talented players playing on the best teams. They're the ones who are going to keep the clean sheets, and they're going to score the goals, right? You have to have some of these players. It's the only way that you're going to succeed, but...
A trickier way to look at that is like Man City and Liverpool last season. They had, we were spoiled for choice in the midfield. And with Liverpool, it kind of depended on whether you went with Coutinho, Mane, or Firmino, given the game week. Right. Same with City. A lot of people ended up gravitating toward Leroy Sané, who was a great player. But those who didn't have Sané toward the end ended up going with KDB. And these are the choices that are going to either hold you back or push you forward.
Exactly. And there's not going to be a 4 million tie for first place, right? Like, even in your own mini leagues, you'll be amazed once the season starts how different everyone's team looks. You know, you think that everyone has the exact same team, the exact same template, and they just won't, you know? I mean, even you and I, Brendan, who were like, we end up kind of merging in our thinking a lot just because we end up talking about the same stuff. But even you and I, bet, will have at least 6 or 7 different players from each other.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, Josh, rule number 4, you can buy too early, you can buy too late. And we're talking about players, and we can also lump in the chips in this rule, because you can play your chips too early, and as we see, you can also play your chips too late. I mean, you didn't even play your all-out attack chip. Right. I mean, that's actually another conversation.
Right.
But what do we mean by you can buy too early, you can buy too late? Well, for seasoned managers, it's relatively obvious, but... there might be a player that looks really hot. You decide to jump on him like at halftime of the game where they scored a brace, and you buy them early to catch the price rise. And guess what? They do their ACL in the Champions League match midweek, and they're out of your squad. You've wasted a transfer. So that's an example of buying too early. You tried to play the market. It blew up in your face. Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, I think a good rule of thumb is don't buy too early if there's you know, Champions League or Europa League games, and don't buy too early if it's the beginning of an international break. Right? It's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love international breaks because it does afford all managers a little extra time to make some decisions.
See our families. You'll
see, exactly. And then we go on this watch of who's actually traveling with their international teams, who's out with like a mysterious injury, which might mean they just want to rest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could be FA Cup, League Cup, Champions League, Europa, all those things that could interfere. And as the season goes, you'll get a sense of manager rotation. I mean, guys like Klopp and Guardiola, notorious for this kind of rotation. So maybe it's not even going to be a problem for your player because you have a sense that they're not going to play midweek and it's easy to bring them in. But the other side of that is, of course, you can buy too late. So there is a player with a hot hand that everyone is bringing in early in the week because they look like they're going to be a must. So Alexis Sanchez, he's coming back from injury. His first game back, he scores a hat trick. Nobody's going to sit on that decision. They're going to buy Alexis right away. You better buy him early as well, or else you could miss 0.1, 0.2 price rise. And if that happens, maybe you can't afford that player come Friday when you have to set your team.
I don't even think this is one of our rules last year, but last year the prices were so swingy. So if this is your first time playing the game, what you should know is that, you know, once the season starts, as players are bought and sold, the price actually rises and falls, right? So, you know, if Sergio Aguero, let's say, tears his ACL in the first game, which is always a possibility with him, he'll probably fall 0.3 right in that first 7-day window. And I think in general, when it comes to, I actually think I waited too long to make moves last year in non, you know, Champions League weeks. And I think it really cost me a lot of team value. Because obviously if you're buying a player and you wait 5 days and they've risen 0.3, then that's 0.3 that you can't use later on, right? So I think as a good rule of thumb, I think you can actually typically buy a player pretty early if you really feel confident that's the player you want. Assuming that it's a standard game week, right? Like if someone goes off for, you know, if someone looks like, let's say there's someone on, you know, Brighton or something who seems like a huge differential, like right off the bat in game week one, right? He has like a Riyad Mahrez level start. And you just want to get on him right away, then I think typically you're going to be okay.
Right.
I hope it's Dunk.
Dunk. It's got to be Dunk. We have to come up with the best meme for Dunk. So everybody, we're working.
Maynard to do a Dunk bad Photoshop.
Yeah, maybe like an Air Bud sort of playing basketball, exactly. but Dunk's head on Air Bud's body.
He's kind of dropped the ball. So if you want to do a bad Photoshop of a movie poster that has the word Dunk or even just a basketball hoop on it, I don't even know Dunk's first name. Maybe he doesn't have a first name. Maybe it's like Madonna.
Or just like every Brazilian player ever. Dunkinho.
Yeah, I wonder if he is Brazilian.
I don't know. With a name like Dunk, he's probably Dutch, right? It's like Todd Gek.
I think he's Portuguese.
But okay, so long story short, the lesson with Rule 4, buy too early, buy too late. You just have to be, if you want the edge, you have to be hyper aware of the trends that are happening out there in the transfer market and, of course, the fixtures that are to come. So let's quickly, Josh, touch upon chips and playing them too early or too late.
Right.
What's your read on this? Because I think you had an experience with your second half wild card last season.
Yeah, and that's really what I'm thinking of here is that, you know, a lot of people wild carded in very late. So you have two wild cards, right? You got one that you got to use in the first 19 weeks and one you've got to use in the second 19 weeks. Or that you can use in either window. And I used mine fairly early in the second window, maybe game week 24, 25. I was just like desperately in need of a reboot. My team was just in terrible shape. And it was just, you know, I had the new baby last year, Brandon, as you may recall.
Oh, that's right. The baby.
I don't know if you knew that. Yeah. So very distracted. You know,
I'll look forward to meeting that baby one day.
So the team was a mess. I just needed a full on reboot, and I took a risk that basically not having a wild card later would be okay. And I did wait until I knew at least who the double game week players were going to be down the line. And so I was able to at least stack my team with those players, right?
Right.
In anticipation of the double game weeks. And so I almost pulled it off. I mean, we actually, yeah.
And
you
triple captained Harry Kane in that major double game week, right, in which a lot of people wild carded into. So you're right. Like you didn't lose much in that you had a couple of really great players for that double game week that you knew, everyone knew a month or more ahead of time were going to be essential.
I made up like 1.4 million spots. And, you know, so I do think that you can, you know, you don't have to wild card or even play the bench boost and the triple captain. In general, I'm not going to be playing those.
Free hit, Josh. Don't forget about free hit. Chip.
I don't plan to play any of those in the first half of the season, and I wouldn't recommend it unless we get a double game week early on in the season.
It's fair to say from the always cheating perspective that a true rookie move would be to blow one of those valuable chips early on in the season.
Right. Particularly because you want those double game weeks, you know, those game weeks where there are two fixtures, where you just, you know, you basically, it's, well, not only do you maximize your points, but you also minimize your risk, you know, because if you captain a player and let's say you captain a midfielder and they don't score at all, but they, you know, pick up a clean sheet bonus point in both games, right? Suddenly you're on 6 points doubled, which is 12 points, which is not terrible. That's like a forward scoring a goal and not getting any bonus points.
Josh, talking about chips, I'm feeling like rules 2 and 3 are creeping up again. Don't be afraid to be different, but up to a point.
Right.
So I think that that's still one of our most important lessons learned.
It's the balancing act. You know, you have to kind of play. You got to play with everybody else, and then you kind of have to go on your own a little bit too.
All right, Josh, give us rule 5, and then we're going to take a quick break before we head into the last 5 rules.
Right. Rule number 5, Brandon, is learn to identify which players are form players and which players are fixture proof. So
what do we mean by this, Josh?
Yeah, what we mean by this, thank you for that lead in there, Brandon.
This is a total duo thing here, Josh. Me and you were co-hosting.
Working together. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. You're doing a great job, by the way. I don't know if I ever
should.
Did I ever say that on the podcast? Because I do mean it, Brandon. I do.
I would like to put out a call to all of our listeners. If you think I'm doing a great job on the podcast, please hit us up on Twitter at Hail Cheaters and let Brandon know he's doing a good job.
So what I mean here is a player, this is something you see a lot of early in the season, right? Someone on a team that no one really knows anything about, Let's go back to our boy Dunk for a minute here. Let's say that Dunk scores two goals in the opening game, right? Is Dunk...
Are you talking about 360 Dunk or reverse tomahawk Dunk?
It's a tomahawk Dunk. I need to pick another player because I'm just going to laugh every time I say Dunk. All right, let's say...
what about, like...
DeAndre Yedlin, right? Let's say that DeAndre Yedlin scores a goal, an assist, and a clean sheet in his opening match. Let's say he gets a true 18-pointer. Does that mean that DeAndre Yedlin is a player that you have to bring in? Or is DeAndre Yedlin just a player who had a fantastic match and it's a one-off and you can kind of safely ignore him? Well, the answer is you don't know, right? you have to trust the talent of the player. I mean, basically, is this player someone that people think is capable of this, right? Is he someone who people rate highly? I mean, it doesn't mean that there can't be someone who comes completely out of nowhere. I mean, you know, Harry Kane basically came out of nowhere 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, at 5 million. But in general, if a player is, you know, on a bad team, or let's like look at Ross Barkley, right? Like every year Ross Barkley has like kind of a hot start. Well, he'll score like some 30-yard screamer in one of the first two games.
Yep.
And everyone gets excited about him, but we all know from years of experience that Ross Barkley can't put it all together, right? He just can't string together a full season. So, you just have to be very careful with your transfers. Are you transferring in a marginally talented player who benefited from a great fixture, or are you getting in early on a really talented player? And I think this is where you kind of have to look at your smarter, maybe your stat. This is where the stats really come in, right? Like look at, see what all of your smarter friends, not us, but like smarter people, smarter than us, see what they're saying about these players, right? Like maybe their underlying stats are fantastic, or maybe it's a total fluke. In general, the stats are going to really, you know, it's like blood work, you know, it's like the blood work.
Ooh, reveals blood all work. I love this.
Yeah.
I think what you're kind of dancing around the old cliche of form over fixtures. And what we're driving at here is it's good to identify, are these players just in form? Are they having a purple patch, or are they really fixture proof?
Right.
And that's going to dictate how long you want to bring a player into your squad. Maybe Yedlin is hitting a great, to use your example, Josh, is hitting a great bit of form. But these form players, you have to be very unsentimental and drop them at a moment's notice because you recognize they are not fixture proof.
Yeah, you, and I think I said this maybe near the end of last, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or just in person, but I thought you had your best season last year, and I thought it was partially because you were completely unsentimental with your team. I felt like you were dropping, you know, you dropped. Remember, there's a moment you dropped Ibra for Lukaku, and then you brought Ibra like right back in the next week. You know, and it's kind of hard to do that sometimes. Like if you drop a player, it can be very hard to admit you made a mistake and bring them right back in. You kind of have to swallow your pride a little bit.
Yeah, and I think in that instance, just to rule five, the fixtures didn't lie, and I had to choose to play them, and it turned out that I in that instance, in my best season, as you call it, Josh, I chose wisely.
Right, and you knew he was talented, right? I mean, it wasn't like you were punting on a Manolo Gabbiadini, right? I mean, it's not exactly. Ibrahimovic.
The micro troll Gabbiadini.
Yeah, you were safe because you knew how good Ibra is.
that was to get sidetracked, like the greatest bit of luck for all those managers that ended up not going with Gabbiadini, unable to fit him into their wild card teams. What a great stroke of luck when he just totally just, you know, nosedived.
I finished like 7 points out of third place, as it turned out last year. And if he had just made that penalty in game 36, it all might have been different.
Oh, I think after all this Gabbiadini talk, we might need a break, Josh.
All right, let's take a quick break. Same old podcast,
always cheating. All right, Josh, we're back, and we've got rules 6 through 10 for FPL success. I'll kick it off with rule number 6. Joshua, remember this. All 15 players in your squad must start. And in the starting of all 15 players, you should have the ability to rotate at the fringes of your squad. Now, what do I mean by fringes of your squad? So in order for all 15 members of your squad to start, you're going to have to identify especially those 4.5 million pound defenders, midfielders, and GKs Even if you're lucky, you're going to get the early season Jordy Amats at 4.0 that are going to start. And this is where you're going to be able to develop rotations with your defense. So you've got your two like cornerstones of your defense that aren't rotating. But if you've got all 15 guys starting, you've got an easy rotation where maybe Swansea's got a bum fixture. You're bringing in Ben Mee for Burnley. Same in your with your fifth midfielder. Tom Carroll maybe can switch with, an example fails me, but another 5.0, 4.5 yeah. midfielder.
Well, I will say, I think you can almost get away with a 4 million defender who doesn't play. I mean, like a fifth defender, that is usually going to be okay, especially if you have, you know, a Marcus Alonso type in your team, like basically a player who can play any game week because they can always score a goal. But a fifth midfielder, if you don't have a Tom Carroll type, like I feel like Tom Carroll was pretty good. You actually kind of got rid of him right before he scored a goal, right?
I did, yeah, but I did. I got an assist and a couple of three-pointers out of him. And frankly, if we're talking about fifth mids, if you're bringing a guy in off your bench for a three-pointer, what more do you want?
Right. And I think that, you know, thinking a lot about your fifth midfielder, it's a great place to look for a differential, right? I mean, a lot of people started the season last year with Etienne Capoue, right? Because he was a player who was just a solid, consistent player. We knew he was going to start every single game week, right? And he was 4.5 yep. million. And even though he wasn't much of a goal scorer, he was a stable pick. And then he like completely went off, right? And then everyone was rushing to get him in. And suddenly you had this super valuable player that you got for a million cheaper than everybody else. So I don't know how to like find that player this year. I mean, there's a little luck involved for sure.
They're kind of impossible to find before game week one. These guys will come into our view when the season starts. So then we'll be able to identify them pretty easily after game week one and two. But I think you're right, Josh. Like the hard and fast rule number six has to be get 15 players in that all start. But the actual like truth of the matter is we're probably all going to have one dead defender at the very end of our bench.
Often happens. I think that you can look at some team webs. The thing about Capoue last year, the thing that made him so valuable was that he was a defensive midfielder who was playing really as more of a central midfielder.
He was OP
at the start of the season. So he was basically an out of position player. You know, anytime you can find a player like that, that's the player you want to bring in, right? Marcus Alonso, right? Last year, he was classified as a defender, but he was playing as basically a winger, right? In the 3-4-3 rotation. So,
yeah.
Whew, that was like a mouthful.
But speaking of rotation, that's where like building your squad in this manner with an eye towards getting all these starters is going to cover you for those weeks where there are Champions League, Europa or Cup fixtures that might cause rotation in a game week. And you're going to be really thankful when you have somebody on your bench that can cover somebody that might get rotated out.
Yeah, totally. So I don't want to get too far away from the rule. I just want to talk about
Etienne Capoue. And speaking of that, that might lead us right into rule number seven.
I brought him in pathetically late last year, by the way. He was like a game week six wild. I brought him in I was embarrassed to bring him in when I did. I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Held your nose.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course he didn't score for like 18 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he fell off quick.
Speaking of, brings us to rule number seven, beware the low-cost bandwagon and the cheap starter.
Josh, what do you mean by this? Why do I need to be a low-cost bandwagon? That seems like great value. What's the problem?
I almost want you to read this, Brennan, because you've written this nice copy here that I'm looking at. why don't you go ahead and take it from here?
So the sort of rule of thumb here with beware the low-cost bandwagon is mind the store. You have to be paying attention with players like this. So take Capoue last season as an example. He was like a house on fire, scoring week after week. He was starting, and he was 4.5. Everyone bought him in. They bought him in. They brought him into their squad. So what's the problem here? The problem is he's low. He's at this low cost. So when Capoue falls off everyone's going to get rid and bring in the next flavor of the month. And what happened to me was I wasn't minding the store and I got caught out and I ended up losing like 0.5 on my team value because Kapood was just dumped. So what you might want to think about when you're thinking of cheap starters is, of course, bring in the bandwagon, but get ready to drop them when they start losing value. But cheap starters right in game week one, I'm thinking of like my man Emerson Hyndeman for Bournemouth last season. Midfielder at 4.5. He was injured coming into the season. He ended up going off on loan. Guess what? Nobody brought him in. So I'm already breaking rule number six, but I had him as dead weight on my bench, but I knew his value wasn't going to drop at all. Right. So you look at these cheap players that might have low ownership. There's much lower risk in terms of their value fluctuating, if that's a concern of yours.
Yeah, I actually put the call out yesterday on Twitter. Some of you may have seen this, and I basically asked who the most overrated players are right now in fantasy. Who's showing up in all of the templates that is driving people crazy. And some people did mention Lukaku, and it probably is true that he's a little overrated in the sense that, you know, we don't really know exactly how he's going to perform there. I still think he's essential. But I mean, I'm not sure that we're going to get, we just don't really know. Right. I mean, are we going to get,
Don't make any proclamations here, Josh, because he could be great.
He could be great, and it could, you know, he could be Robin Van Persie at Arsenal level scoring, right? But it also could be, you know, something closer to what Ibra did the first half of last season, right? Which is like a goal a game, right? I mean, yes. So we don't necessarily know yet. But the two players that really stood out were Paul Pogba and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And looking right now, Ruben Loftus-Cheek is at he's 4.5, right? So he's kind of irresistible as a you know, fifth midfielder. But at 16.4%, you know, he's a player who hasn't really done a lot of scoring so far in his career. We don't really know what to expect from him. And if he does, it's possible he delivers, right? It's possible that what delivery means for a fifth midfielder is like he gets two assists in the first four games or something, right?
Yeah.
But it's possibly doesn't do any of that, right? And then he gets a couple of yellow cards and he doesn't play 90 minutes the whole time. You know, and if that's the case, he is going to get transferred out by a ton of managers.
And his value is going to plummet. He's going to start at 4.5 and he's going to be at 4.2 before you can look the other way.
Yeah, right.
And your team value is just going to be done by it.
And what's you know, kind of funny about this too is that once he gets down to like 4.2, he suddenly becomes super valuable because he's a good player who, you know, like let's say that the reason why his value dropped is because he hadn't scored because, you know, he was coming off an injury and they were easing him back into the squad. And so suddenly you've got a 4.2 million fifth midfielder that you can bring in, right? But you just got to, I think with Loftus-Cheek, I'm kind of waiting it out a little bit.
And just to round out rule number seven, this is a theory that you're fond of, Josh, I know, is the cheap third striker. Now, midfielders might be easy to chop and change, but you bring in that cheap third striker, maybe the Enachibe type. This is a position where you build a 3-5-2, and you've got that cheap third striker. You can find when you have no money left in the bank. It's very hard to turn like a 4.5, 5.0 striker into somebody who can actually play in your squad when the likes of Enachibe get injured. So the cheap starters, all that glitters is not gold, depending on how the season goes.
Yep, I agree. Shall we move on?
Let's move on, Josh. What do you got?
I got rule number eight, which is to... this rule is basically keep your perspective. And what I mean about that is this is almost one for me because I get sick of people melting down on social media and on the Fantasy Football Scout, you know, comments page and you name it, when the best, you know, a guaranteed striker doesn't score that week, right? Because even the best FPL assets don't score every week, right? Even the best defenders don't keep a clean sheet every week. You know, it doesn't happen, right? I mean, like Lukaku scored 24 goals, but I know a lot of those were games where he had multiple goals, right? So he had something like 17 to 20 games last year where he didn't score any goals at all.
I'm particularly thinking about Sergio Aguero against Stoke City when a lot of people triple captained him and everyone just thought, got to get something against Stoke, and he got nothing.
Right.
And as you're saying here with rule number 8, what does that tell us about the player? Probably nothing. It probably just means it was an off week. No need to get all worked up.
Right.
You don't need to just rage quit on that player.
Yeah. Just watch a game, like watch a game with your own eyes and realize how extremely difficult it is to score a goal and the like absolute magic that is required to score any goal. Right. I mean, like almost, you know, outside of a penalty, maybe, I don't know, but like a goal is a very difficult thing to
Josh, don't take anything away from the great act of taking a penalty. James Milner listens to this podcast.
That's true. Jimmy Milner. So, you know, just keep some perspective here because, you know, people were calling Romelu Lukaku Troll Kaku last year on the back of like an absolutely ridiculous FPL points haul, right? And it was just, you get this idea fixed in your head that certain players are disappointing and it can kind of blind you to how well they're actually playing.
Yes, no, it's pretty straightforward. Right. Give everybody a break.
Exactly. And then I think clean sheets are the same way, right? I mean, a clean sheet can be lost on the simplest of things, right? I mean, your defensive midfielder fouls a guy in the wrong area.
Yeah, where Marcus Alonso divided a lot of opinions toward the end of last season. Chelsea were really struggling to keep clean sheets, and people thought, well, is it time to dump Alonso? But again, watch that game. See how involved Alonso is in the attack. And also, just as I talked over you, you were talking about how fluky it can be to give up a clean sheet. It's almost as much a miracle to keep a clean sheet as it is to score a goal.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, that's why I've seen some people experiment with five at the back. And I was talking to Luke Thunberg about this on Twitter. But the stress of playing five at the back, I could not handle. Right.
Oh, if you value your heart health, don't do it.
Right. Because
just
You wouldn't be. I could not. If I had five defenders, I wouldn't enjoy any game. Right. I would until the like 90th minute and extra time were completely in the books.
Oh, just think of how many clean sheets you've lost in the 88th minute. And I have this superstition to not load my defensive clean sheet points right. after the 60th minute, because it seems like anytime I load that clean sheet point mid game, it gets taken away from me.
I know. It's the worst feeling. You suddenly find yourself, you're watching like West Brom Stoke, and it's like you've got your shirt in your mouth because it's like, you know, the second minute of 5 minutes of injury time, you're like, oh my God, nobody scored. Please, please. Oh,
and anytime that ball gets toward the penalty area, you're just like freaking out, like, clear the ball. All right, that's rule number 8. Remember that even the best FPL assets don't score or keep clean sheets every week. Brings us to rule number 9.
Yeah, these last two are a little, I'd say they're a little less strategy focused and a little more on just enjoying yourself.
Yeah, because what is really the cornerstone of a good FPL season, Josh? It's having fun.
It is, in theory, a game.
Are you having fun yet? So rule number 9, do everything you can to keep your mini leagues fun. Now, it's age old. Everyone's mini league. You've got a couple of friends in there that always lose interest about halfway through the season. Maybe it's because they have an inability to keep their concentration for 9 to 10 months, but maybe it's because their team just kind of stunk right out of the gate and the season isn't that fun for them. So how do we keep everyone having fun in the mini league? Well, we've got a couple of suggestions, particularly if you're using the classic format. You can do something like start a second half of the season league where everyone starts fresh, like in game week 19.
Yeah.
And you can reboot your team and you start fresh with a point total. And the FPL site allows you to do this. You can start a new mini league where scoring starts in any week you want. You can even do this in game week 5 or 10.
Exactly. You can start a head-to-head league with a friend at any week at any time, right? And so if you and your friend are both, you know, 15th and 16th in your personal mini league and it's, you know, week 22 and you're like, this stinks, just start a new head-to-head. Maybe put a little, bet yourself, you know, make a little wager, you know. It can just be,
make it interesting,
Jeff. You know, maybe you just buy the person a drink or you buy them dinner. You and I have our 50-buck cup, which may be a 100-buck cup this year. We'll see.
Who knows, man? I mean, we're very successful now,
Jeff. I don't know
where
the money's going to come from, but yeah, we'll see.
Exactly. But, and that's another reason why we introduced head-to-head into our private mini league. We have about 20 people that we play with, and we found that some people, when their season tanked, they lost interest. They had nothing to play for week to week. So we do the classic, and in addition to the classic format, we play head to head. So even if you're having a terrible season, you could still get matched up against, you know, a friend who you have a rivalry with. And really what it comes down to is am I going to beat you in head to head this week? Right. You got bragging rights. You got something to text back and forth about. Makes it a little more fun, right? More carrot, yeah. Less stick.
And if you're doing a head-to-head league, I suggest doing the playoffs, too, because that can be a lot of fun, too. And I kind of squeaked into the playoffs of our – well, I guess it's now the Patreon head-to-head league. Last year it was called the AC Showstoppers head-to-head league. And I actually won the league, but I was way behind, you know, with – I don't know, maybe 15 weeks to go. And then I went on this run where I basically won every game the last, you know, 15 weeks. And even, you know, if we didn't have playoffs, I would have just finished fifth or whatever. And so, you know, the fact that I was able to get into the final eight and then you have these, you know, the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, made for a lot of fun. So I definitely recommend that to people. Just find in the Survivor League that we're doing in Patreon is another way to do this, right? I mean, so even if you're not super serious about fantasy, but you just like the Premier League and you like watching games, then either join our league or, you know, you can start one of your own. And you know, basically then you just pick one team each week and then
what's a good site for a Survivor League? What's the site that you used for our Survivor League last season?
I can't remember the link, but it actually is in our, and I'm not saying this is a plug to get people to join the page, but if you go to our Patreon page, it's patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can find it there. I linked to it on the page. It's like footballsurvivor.co.uk or something like that.
Or just Google, yeah, Football Survivor. Okay, so have fun. Is that clear enough for you, Josh?
I think so.
We got one more rule. What is it?
Rule number 10, luck isn't a bug in the FPL game. It's a feature. And Brandon and I talk a lot about poker on this podcast. It's because I am a poker obsessive, and I played online poker for a long time back when you could do that in the U.S. without having to, like, reroute your ISP all over the globe and pretend you were a... you know, citizen in Christmas Island or whatever. but, you know, in that game, it basically got solved, right? I mean, like, I'm not saying it got totally solved, and no limit hold'em is still a little bit different, but like limit poker is effectively solved. And why would you play, right? I mean, like if there is a way to sort of, there's like a perfect way to play and you can learn how to do it that way, why is it still fun? Well, it's still fun because it's random. And it's just the actual watching of games is fun. And the fact that you don't have to know that much about stats and can still finish first in the world. I mean, this is, you know, if you go to like Reddit, you know, like starting like in the second half of the season, there's always some thread about like some team that's like eighth in the world and they haven't set their team for, you know, 20 weeks or whatever.
Ghost team is top scorer in game week 29.
You can luck your way into a top season. Anytime you see any of these interviews with anybody finish first in the world, obviously if you finish first, you're a great manager, you make great decisions, but you also got lucky. And, you know,
As the rule says, you're not saying that in a derogatory sense. That's part of the game. It's a feature of the FPL game.
E.B. White has this book called Welcome to New York, and there's a line in the beginning of that book where he says, no one should come to New York unless they're willing to be lucky, right? And, you know, if you harbor the idea that you could finish number one in the world this year, you just have to accept that things are going to have to break your way. And, you know, accepting that you have to get lucky means you also have to accept that being unlucky is part of it, too. And really, this is all just a vessel for watching football, right? I mean, I love to watch it. I wouldn't be getting up at 7:30, you know, and on the East Coast every morning to watch these games. I wouldn't do it just for the fantasy game, right? I do it because I love it and it's a lot of fun. And even when things don't go well, I still enjoy it. And I actually enjoy the fantasy game even when I'm having terrible seasons. I know you feel the same way.
Absolutely. It's just icing on the cake, to use a terrible metaphor, but it's a fun way. It's a fun way to engage with all 10 games that are happening each game week,
right?
Playing the FPL game. But yeah, to get lucky, to have fun, to round out the rules 9 and 10, that's really why we're here. That's why we're talking about this. But speaking of luck and speaking of what our goals are, I want to quickly ask you, Josh, what are you thinking about in terms of this upcoming season? Now, maybe you weren't totally happy with how you did last season.
Right.
taking luck out of it, what's your target this season?
Yeah, I guess the target for me is, I guess it's top 1K. I've never broken the 1K barrier. I've broken the 2K barrier. And I finished 15:30 a couple seasons ago. So if I could, you know, if I could break that, that is the goal. And I guess from a more philosophical standpoint, it's that I'm going to go with the crowd a little more this year. For anyone who listened to the podcast, you know, really the last 2 years, I mean, I just didn't want to do it the way everyone else was doing it. And,
the infamous Johan Kabay transfer,
just all kinds of gut differential move after, you know, just these random moves that made no sense. And it was partially because I was trying to have a move that was so spectacular that it was going to like blow everyone away. I don't really know what the thinking was exactly, but it was part of it. I think it was just sheer stubbornness, right? I just didn't want to have the players everyone else was having. And it's important to remember that the actual community of, you know, nerdy people who are really thinking about this game seriously is pretty small. So don't feel like everyone else is doing it, right? Like if it feels like everyone is getting on the, whomever, right? The dunk bandwagon, to bring it up for the 30th time.
360 actually, dunk.
Yeah, it's actually just you and like 4,700 other people, right? And the actual 3.995 million other players in the game are not bringing that player in. So,
yeah, herds and bandwagons sound like big things, but when it boils down to just the super intense managers that are tuning into podcasts such as this, it seems a little less intimidating.
Right, exactly.
Think about all those guys like Peter Crouch. He's known for playing FPL. I don't know if he's going to be on the dunk bandwagon the same week we are.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
For me, my goal is I tend to want to under-promise, over-deliver. So I'm going to say here on episode 84 of Always Cheating that my goal is top 10K.
Okay. I like that. Good. It's a good, strong goal, solid goal.
Which read between the lines means I aim to win the whole bloody thing this season.
That's right.
I'm getting that trip to space camp.
And you got to retain your 50-buck cup crown, too.
I do, yeah. Two in a row for me. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
It's painful for me to think about.
Is that it? That's all 10 rules for FPL success?
That's 10 rules. We're going to do several more episodes lined up before the season starts. We're hoping to have a couple, probably two guests on before the season starts, too. We may do those as standalone episodes. We may do those as guests in the pod. We'll kind of see how that all works out. But
going to include a team by team down and dirty previews.
Right. Exactly.
So we're going to be speaking of not being afraid of stats. We're going to try and get down and dirty with all 20 teams so we can be ready going into game week one, and have a working knowledge of every team.
Proper game week one preview to come to and all that stuff. So stay tuned. But, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, if you like the podcast or, even if you don't like it, but you think someone else would like it, you know, send them the link, you know, share the podcast, whether it's on social media, whether it's emailing your friends, or just telling them about it. You know, we really want to, you know, get the word out at the start of this season. So, you can find us on Twitter. We're, at Hail Cheaters, H-A-I-L, Cheaters, and, Facebook, we're facebook.com/alwayscheating. I still think our Facebook follow numbers are lower than they should be, Brandon.
It is not representative of a podcast of our esteem. Yeah, it's true.
The SoundCloud numbers are very strong. The Twitter numbers are strong. Facebook, we need to bump that up a little bit.
Absolutely. Do it for our portfolio, guys, even if you don't use Facebook.
Yeah. And you can email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com. And if you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, and we certainly encourage you to do that, though you don't have to, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Final bit of housekeeping. Of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you may already be subscribed, but don't forget to subscribe. You get the regular feed on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like us, like Josh said, recommend us, but also leave us a review on any podcast platform. We really appreciate it. All right, that's it.
The police are there, so I guess you gotta go.
Yeah, the police are here. They're coming to shut us down. Oh my god, too many requests we're making of our listeners.
All right, Brandon, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Poku forever.
Hail, Dio Mercy, Mbakani.
360 dunk.